Welcome to the Bethany Community Church Podcast for September 13th, 2015. This week's sermon is titled, Trust Him.
Isaiah 48:17-21. This is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had paid attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your descendants would have been like the sand, your children like its numberless grains. Their name would never have been cut off nor destroyed before me. Leave Babylon, flee from the Babylonians. Announce this with shouts of joy and proclaim it. Send it out to the ends of the earth, say, the Lord has redeemed his servant Jacob. They did not thirst when he led them through the deserts. He made water flow for them from the rocks. He split the rock and water gushed out.
Can you imagine what it is to cross an ocean? For weeks you see nothing but the horizon, perfect and empty. You live in the grip of fear. Fear of storms. Fear of sickness on board. Fear of the immensity. So you must drive that fear down deep into your belly. Study your charts. Watch your compass. Pray for a fair wind. And hope. Pure, naked, fragile, hope.
Medicine, the oxygen caught it waiting.
Let them wait. Go on, Mr. Riley. You were hoping?
At first, it's no more than a haze on the horizon. So you watch. You watch. And it's a smudge. A shadow on the far water. For a day. For another day. The stain slowly spreads along the horizon, taking form, until on the third day you let yourself believe. You dare to whisper the word, land. Land. Life. Resurrection. The true adventure. Coming out of the vast unknown, out of the immensity, into new life. That, Your Majesty, is the new world.
I want to talk to you today about trusting the Lord to be your guide. Trusting the Lord to get you to the place that you want to be, need to be, that He has willed for you in His life. The video clip or the movie clip we just saw is Sir Walter Raleigh, who stood before Queen Elizabeth I near the end of the 16th century. Queen Elizabeth was embattled with the Spain and the Church of Rome. The Catholic Church had declared holy war, well, along with King Philip of Spain. And only England stood in its way. Queen Elizabeth needed a source of riches, a source of wealth. Sir Walter Raleigh had been to the New World. He is the one who had been there and knew the way. And what you just heard him describe was what it was like He talked about pushing fear down inside you, looking for land until the day you saw land, and he even called it the resurrection. Well, today I'm here to tell you that there is a Lord and Savior. Our text calls him a Redeemer. Circle that in your mind today. Our text calls him a Redeemer. Our text calls him, doesn't use the word guide, but it implies the word guide. It says he will, talking to Israel, he will tell you and direct you to what is best for you. We have this amazing resource today in the being of the Lord Jesus Christ, offering to be our guide, our director, offering to be a presence in our life like no other we could ever imagine. Like Sir Walter Raleigh, he has been there. Jesus came to this earth not just to save the world, but Jesus came to this earth to experience the world. He came to this earth to experience the pain, the disappointments, the stress, all the stuff that you experience, so he could go back and he could now show you the way to go and live a successful journey. Now, some of you here today have never seen the Lord as your guide. You have other things. Society and the societal trends and culture, that's pretty much your guide. Some of you, your guide is your family and friends, the values of your family and the values of your friends. That's your guide through life. Some of you, your guide through life is mystical occurrences and coincidences. That's how you get through life. Some of you might even use fortune cookies. So you go out for Chinese at least once a week so you can figure out what's next. Some of you, probably a lot of us, it's our own thoughts. Whatever thoughts or ideas come to our mind, that's what we look for guidance. Some, it's about desires and urges. And whatever desires or urges or impulses are strongest, that's the path we're going to go down. By the way, I don't believe any of those things I just mentioned are totally wrong or bad. I believe those are good things. We're not called to live separately or independently of those things. We're not called to live in a way that we don't live in the real world. We're not affected by family, friends, desires, urges, circumstances, coincidences, fortune cookies. It's okay to be affected by those things. I've had days when a fortune cookie was kind of the best clear direction I had. We discouraged people from using things like horoscopes, but a lot of people use those things, and we certainly forbid, we discourage people from going to fortune tellers. Then there's another group. So I'm talking first to you people, you here today who have never really seen the Lord as your guide, never seen him in that role in your life. But then some of us we're guidance survivors. We tried it. We thought we heard from God. Things came together. Everything looked like it was right. And we got disappointed and we got hurt. The career path we started down didn't work out. We lost our job, or we got put in a place in the company. We got reassigned. Our health didn't support the vision of our career, our dream. The marriage ended in divorce, in spite of the fact that we thought we heard from God and we thought God spoke to us. That ministry or opportunity that we thought God had spoken to our hearts and we thought we knew, and the doors have shut and it got blocked, or we failed and things didn't work out. Some of us are burned out from trying to get guidance. We thought God had led us to a person who was going to be the friend that we never had before, and that friend ended up betraying us and hurting us. We thought God had led us to a source of financial independence and even wealth, We thought God had given us the key, and we thought we heard from God. We thought we heard from God that if we would give that amount of money and we would plant that seed of faith, that everything would be wonderful. We thought for sure we heard from God, and everything seemed to line up. And now we're discouraged, and we're burned out, and we don't want to hear about hearing from God anymore. We're on our own. Let's talk about this today. Let's see what God has to say. Here's the good news. The good news is that God is not here just to give you information, but God is here to be your guide. I want you to think about our text for a minute. Our text is about the nation of Israel. This tiny little tribe, they started out as a tiny tribe. A man named Israel had 12 sons. And they were the tribe of Israel, or the nation of Israel. God promised Israel, I will be your guide. I will, in fact, one place, Israel always went off track, you know, every once in a while. And the Lord said, I am married to you. I am married to the backslider, he said. And so the Lord promised that he would be Israel's guide. And here this tiny group of 12 people who got planted into a nation of millions when they went to Egypt running from a famine. Today, fast forward centuries have gone by, and today the nation of Israel is right where God wants them. The nation of Israel is the centerpiece of the political world that we live in today. The nation of Israel, you cannot have a discussion about world affairs. You can't have a discussion about foreign policy without Israel coming up. Because Israel is right where God wants them to be, right on the real estate, right in the place in that the Lord said they would be, right where they are, even politically, even the political alignments are right where God said they should be, right where they should be, because God is their guide. God has got them where he wants them. God wants to be your guide. And if you'll let him be your guide, you will come to the realization that even today, God has got you right where he wants you. And everything's okay. Amen? Isaiah 48 is not just about poetry. It's history of that nation that at this moment, as I said, is against all odds, is at the centerpiece of world events. Smaller than New Jersey, 7 miles wide at one point and 21 miles wide at the widest point, and about 263 miles long. I mean, there are counties in Texas bigger than Israel. But nothing's going to happen in this world without Israel being considered. Amen? See, we want a crystal ball. Divine guidance is not a crystal ball. It's not fortune telling. It's not knowing the future. That's not divine guidance. That's divination. That's fortune telling. Divine guidance is not that. I heard of a guy who hired a guide over on the continent of Africa somewhere. And they began to go through the forest. The guide had a machete, and he's cutting a path. And finally, the person who's being guided said, "Where's the path?" The guide looked back and said, "I am the path. I want to introduce you to a Lord and Savior today who's saying to you, I don't want to just feed you information. I don't want to just be a divine GPS. That's what some of us want. We want God to be Siri. And God's saying, I want to be your friend. I want to be your father. I want to be your brother. I want to be the most important presence in your life." Moses said one time, God said, "I'm not going with you. You guys go ahead. I'm just going to give you the divine GPS. And it'll tell you which way to go." Moses said, "No, we're not going unless you go with us." So it's not about you always knowing. It's about you always trusting. That's what this message is about today. Not about you always knowing, but about you always trusting. Now, in the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about getting better at knowing. We want to get better at knowing. We want to reduce. How many of you would like to reduce the number of bad decisions that you make? And both hands up. I'd like to make more good decisions. We're going to talk about how to make better decisions. But none of us are ever going to get 100% at making perfect decisions. None of us are ever going to make perfect relationship decisions, perfect financial decisions, perfect career decisions. None of us are going to get perfect at making decisions. My goal in this series is that in the next 3 weeks, we could get, say, 20% better. Let's try to get 20% better at making decisions. But that's not the starting point. At the starting point is not to tell you how to get better at making decisions, but to tell you how to get better at trusting the Lord. Getting better at getting connected with the director. It's not about always knowing. It's about you always trusting. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. See, here's the good thing about the Lord. He is the only advisor, the only coach, the only counselor that you have in your that's available to you, that has absolutely no self-interest. No self-interest. As much as we try, as much as we human beings try, we counselors, we coaches, we pastors and leaders, as much as we try, we cannot honestly say to you that we have no self-interest. We all have self-interest. We all have a payoff if you listen to our advice. That's just the human condition. We can't change that. The Lord is the only one who has no agenda, no self-serving agenda, no self-interest. In fact, you're like having kids. You're costly. You're expensive to God. You're a poor investment. You know what I mean? I'm a very poor investment. The only thing God gets out of loving you is loving you and having you love him back. That's our starting point today. That's our starting point in this series is loving the God who loves us. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus because he first loved me. More importantly, the Lord not only has no self-interest, but more importantly is he is trustworthy. Tim Hansel writes in his book, Holy Sweat. He said him and his son, Zach, were out jumping, out cliff climbing one day, out in the, hill somewhere. And all of a sudden, his son, Zach, jumps off a rock right at him. And at the last minute, he turns around and he catches him. And he said, "Son, what in the world were you thinking? Why did you do that?" And Zach calmly says, "Because you're my dad." That's trust. That's trust. That you can throw yourself off a cliff, as we have all done, into the arms of God, because he's our dad. A guy was taking flight instructions one day, student pilot. They take the little plane up, and the instructor says, "I want you to put the plane into a dive." Put the plane into a dive. The plane stalls. He's headed to Earth. It seemed like at the last minute, The instructor wasn't doing anything. The instructor was just watching the student pilot struggle with getting this little plane back under control. At the last minute, he gets the plane, gets it back under control, and he's just sweating bullets, and he's frustrated, and he vents his frustration at his instructor. Why did you do that? What are you thinking? His instructor said, listen to me. There's no situation you can put this plane into that I can't get it out of. There's no situation that you can put this plane into that I can't get it out of. That's what it means to have a guide. That's what it means to have the Lord in your life. It's not getting a crystal ball. It's not getting a printout of everything that's going to happen. It's not even getting step-by-step instructions of what you should do about every single thing that's going to happen this week or this month or this year. But it's believing and knowing that there's no situation, there's no mess that I'm going to get my life into that He can't get me out. Hallelujah. Trusting the Lord. See, what we're talking about today is making an emotional shift. That's what it means to come in right relationship with the Lord. Coming in right relationship with the Lord is making an emotional shift from doubt to faith. An emotional shift from mistrust to trust. An emotional shift from not believing to believing. An emotional shift from having no confidence in anyone but maybe yourself, to having complete confidence. It's making an emotional shift. Where today, I want to help you and talk to you about making that, because something good happens. And here's where trust, you do begin to make better decisions. Not perfect ones, but you start making better decisions because trusting the Lord sharpens our senses to follow the Lord. Trusting the Lord sharpens our senses. We're not reliable when we're living in a state of high anxiety. You know that? How many of you ever done anything really brilliant when you were really anxious? So one person, oh, God bless you, but most of the room didn't. And that there probably is. There probably is some brilliant things that have been done in high anxiety. But most of the time, high anxiety, we do dumb things. You know, how many of you have been in a high anxious conversation with your spouse and your emotional high anxiety was up to here? How many of you said something really kind and nice and smart? When, by the way, it's not fair, because you women, you get more articulate when you're angry, and we men get stupid. It is not fair. There's a thing that happens to the male brain, is you just get really dumb when you get really upset. And in women, you just get incredibly articulate. Only in the movies do men get very articulate when they're angry. And that's because they have a script. Calmness, and I'm not very good at this, but I know about it. Calmness creates clarity. That's why Jesus said, "Thou wilt keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." My peace I give you, Jesus said. Jesus is always talking like that. I think I've told this before, but we were considering one time setting someone up, someone had in an eBay store to sell stuff from the Blessing Barn and raising more money for the Blessing Barn. And I knew I had to make it, I didn't want to pay a salary, because then if they didn't sell, then we were still having to pay them. So I wanted to set up a situation where we could pay them a percentage. And somebody told me that wasn't allowed. The IRS wouldn't allow a nonprofit to set up a profit sharing percentage commission kind of a deal. And so I made a phone call to Richard Hammer. Richard Hammer is the legal advisor for the Assemblies of God, and he's written these great big books on law and taxes. And so Richard Hammer is a very unique guy. I've met him before, and he doesn't have a secretary. He returns all his own phone calls. So I called out to Springfield, Missouri, and I left a message. Kind of thought he wouldn't call me back. 3 or 4 days later, I'm in the store somewhere, and the phone rings. It's Richard Hammer. And I said, hi, and he said, hi. And that's kind of how we got started in the conversation. And I told him what we were trying to do. He said, you know what? And I was so shocked. He's a great legal mind. He said, I was just studying in the Bible this morning. The Bible says over and over, fear not, fear not. He said, you people have too much fear. He said, you're afraid of the IRS. You pastors are afraid of your elders. You're afraid of the board. You're afraid of the congregation. He said, there's so much fear. He said, my message to you is fear not. And I don't know if I should tell you what else he said, but I think I'm about to. He said, those people you get on the phone at the IRS, he said, they don't know, usually don't know what they're talking about. And he said, yeah, he got more rational as this conversation went. He said, what they're concerned about is if you start making $1 million. For instance, pastors in some churches actually get a percentage of the tithe and offering. That's how they get paid, especially when churches are small. You have a little church. See, but there have been churches where the church is small and the pastor gets half the money, which is fine when they're running 30 people. But then when they're running 3,000, half the offering is a couple million a year, maybe, in some churches. So that's when the IRS has a problem. Fear not. When you begin to trust, it makes you sharper. So you make better decisions. Enos Mills was a mountain guide who got in a storm at 12,000 feet and became snowblind. This was many years ago, 50 years ago. He's a famous mountaineer. And he wrote these words after he survived, of course. My faculties were intensely awake. The possibility of a fatal ending never occurred to me. Did you hear what he said? The possibility of a fatal ending never occurred to me. Now, that sounds like self-confidence, doesn't it? And it is. Self-confidence is a part of faith, yes, because God created you. So self-confidence is a part of faith. But it wasn't just self-confidence. It was much more than that, because he was also confident that the person who had gone down the mountain before him had marked the trail. And there in that blinding snow, this famous mountaineer went over and he would stick his hand into the snow and he would feel the barks of trees. And on the barks of trees, there were marks that people, if you've done any hiking, you know, there are marks that sometimes people leave with an axe and they will cut a notch out of the tree. And they're called blaze marks. You've probably heard the term blazing a trail. And he would stick his hand into the snow and he would touch the tree and he would feel the blaze marks. And he made his way, he could tell which direction they were going. And he made his way down the mountain and he survived 12,000 feet, went down the mountain because he trusted someone who had gone before him. He trusted someone who had blazed the trail for him. That's what I want you to emotionally do today. I want you to take the emotional center of your life and I want you to move it to the Lord and say, I am going to trust the Lord with my life. I'm going to trust the Lord with my circumstances. I'm going to trust the Lord with my health. I'm going to trust the Lord with my relationships. I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to believe that He has blazed the trail. He's gone down the mountain before me. Now, we can all remember a time when we really got off track, can't we all? When we didn't trust the one who had gone before us. We dated someone who didn't share our faith. Or our lifestyle. We decided we couldn't afford to give God a tithe. Or we decided we wouldn't forgive someone even though we knew that's in the Word. Or we decided we would withhold affection even though we knew that was clearly not in the Word or it was in the Word and we shouldn't. We decided to put a mood-altering substance into our body even though we know the Word warns us about that. We decided we wouldn't help someone in need even though we knew that was clearly in the Word. But I want us to go back to Isaiah, our text that was read so beautifully. Our guide is our Redeemer, the Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Listen, friend, God's not punishing you today. Life might be punishing you, but God's not punishing you. He's your Redeemer. God hasn't abandoned you. He still wants to be your guide. Oh, I've gotten way off track in my life. I have been a broken person. I felt that people were looking at me with doubt, maybe even disgust. But every time I have looked into the face of the Lord, I have heard the Lord say, Phil, I'm your Redeemer. If you won't quit trusting me, if you'll try to get back on track, if you'll turn your heart back to me, I will turn your mess into a masterpiece. I will turn your test into a testimony. I will turn your hurt into hope. I will turn your sin into a win, because that's who I am. I'm your guide. Nicole Nordeman sings, "Leave your broken yesterdays in the open arms of grace." See, remember what I said earlier? That we're poor investments? See, redemption is not efficient. Redemption is not pragmatic. Redemption is wasteful. God's plan to guide unregenerate people out of the wilderness of life, it's an inefficient, irrational, uneconomical decision. Remember the woman in the Bible who poured expensive perfume on the feet of Jesus and Jesus commended her? He commended her. That was worth a year's worth of salary. And she poured it on his feet as an act of worship. Why did he commend her for that? Because that is God's value system. God's value system is we pour out and give to redeem and to save those who cannot pay us back. I know we just want guidance. We just want the information. Oh, God, just tell me what to do. But God wants to be something to you, not just do something for you. Did you get that? God wants to be something to you, not just do something for you. Psalms 23:1, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalms 32:8, God will instruct me and teach me in the way I should go. He will guide me with his eye. Psalms 37:23, my steps are ordered by the Lord. See, it's better when the Lord is your brother and not your employee. Hey, what we're trying to do, guys, is hard. We need the Lord. What we're trying to do is hard, and God knows that. We need the Lord's presence, not just his information. You've been dropped off in a wilderness and you're trying to find your way home. All of us in this room, you're determined. You're determined to do some things that are really hard. You're determined to build a business that doesn't just make money, but makes a difference in the world, right? You're determined not only to see your kids get those college degrees, but you want them to have kids that have wisdom and grace and spiritual power. You're determined not just to be a part of a church that has 2 acres and 200 people, but a church that rocks the community and touches the world. You want more. You're determined not to accept every illness that tries to attach itself to your body, but be as healthy and vibrant as God's sovereignty and grace could possibly allow. You're determined to have more than just a nice little circle of friends, but you want to win dozens to Jesus Christ and spend eternity with them You're determined that your family will not be crippled with dysfunction and unhealthiness and addiction. You're determined to become financially free and be able to live in a way that you can have all of your needs met and you can have money left over to bless others. You're determined that the ministry you have at your church is going to rock with life-transforming and enthusiasm and going to really matter. That home group or whatever you're doing or your affiliation with Compassion New England or your work in children's ministry or youth ministry, you want it to make a difference in the world. Trusting the Lord will be the best decision you will ever make. Trusting the Lord with your life will be the best decision you will ever make. Yes? Amen? Yes, changes will come. Some things will change when you start to trust the Lord. But you know, you can't get the cart before the horse. You can't get the cart before the horse. Start trusting, and you'll start changing. Try to start changing without trusting, you won't be able to sustain it. You got to drive a stake in the ground. You got to drive a stake in the ground today and say, I believe. I believe Jesus is who he said he was. I believe God is sovereign. I believe God has a plan for me and God has a plan for this planet. And I believe everything will turn out exactly the way he said it would. Let me give you 4 action points to take home with you today. In a moment, we're going to call for prayer. And I really want to target our call today. Though, as you know, at the end of our service and response time, we pray for everybody, all kinds of needs. We pray for people who are Christians. We pray for people who aren't Christians. We pray for people who believe. We pray for people who don't believe. We believe God loves everybody. So we'll pray for you no matter what. We'll pray about your financial stuff. We'll pray about your relationships. We'll pray about anything. But today, I want to target those of you who feel lost and confused in some area of your life. And you need guidance. And you want direction. I want you to come first today when the prayer partners come. I'm going to invite the prayer partners in a moment. But let me give you some action points. Number one, face the areas of your life where you feel lost and confused. Stop denying that there's an area or areas where you don't know what to do. Jehoshaphat in the Old Testament said, we don't know what to do. I love this. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. He said, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do. Some of you, that's where you're at today. You're not going to get the answer today, what to do. Be okay with that. Be okay with saying, God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. That means your eyes can't be at a bunch of other places. You can't be looking and blaming other people. You get focused on blaming somebody else for how you feel. That's not going to get you anywhere, to keep blaming somebody else for how you feel. You got to get your eyes off, it's a cliche, you got to get your eyes off people. Put your eyes on the Lord. When Peter had his eyes on the Lord, he walked on the water. Took his eyes off the Lord, he sank. It's pretty simple, right? Number 2, choose your director before you choose your direction. Choose your director before you choose your direction. Decide, I'm just going to put God in charge. I'm going to put the Lord Jesus in charge of my life. Number 3, have more faith in the way than you do in the wilderness. Enos Mills, that mountain climber, he had more faith in the trees and the trail that had been blazed than he did the snowstorm that looked so daunting and would have probably caused me to freak out because I wouldn't have had any idea what to do. Number four, dismiss the possibility that your life could be a failure. Dismiss that possibility because God doesn't sponsor failures. God doesn't make junk. God only has winners. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Redeem means you have been transformed to be a winner. You're saved. Okay? I'm going to invite our prayer partners to come and stand. Prayer partners are people that are here to be a point of contact between you and the Lord. They're here to be the Lord in the flesh. Communion is available also. Perhaps you want to be prayed for. Take communion. Go have a seat or go stand over the side. Or perhaps you just want to go take communion and have a conversation with the Lord. But right now, I want those people in the room specifically who say, Lord, I need guidance. I have a situation. I'm confused. I'm a little lost. You come. Come for prayer. And then all of you others follow. All of the others follow. As you're coming, let me say this. Perhaps today your decision is to become a follower of Jesus Christ. You have never asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. You never asked Him to be the Lord and Savior of your life. But today, you're ready to do that. You can do that right at your seat. And you can just make that decision right there. Please tell someone if you made that decision. I know some people will be out at Connection Central. I'm usually out there. I won't be there today because I have a meeting to go into. But go out there and tell somebody, listen, I prayed to receive Christ. Or you can come and tell one of these prayer partners. And they'll make sure you get some help that you need and further direction that you need. Well, I'm going to say a prayer right now. When I'm done, let's all move into response time. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, Father, that you would bring us to the heart bonding emotional experience of knowing we have a guide, a redeemer, a savior who's going to take us, is taking us through this planet, is taking us from earth to heaven, is taking us from failure to success, is taking us from sin to righteousness, is taking us from brokenness to healing, is taking us from hopelessness to hope. We receive Him right now and appeal to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's move into response time today, folks.
You have been listening to the Bethany Community Church Podcast. For more information, please visit us online at bccma.org. Thank you, and God bless.